I feel like I've got to compete this morning, so I've got to... Everybody was Chuck Fu fighting. Message for you. Oh yeah. How we doing? Good. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. We'll read one or two verses and then we're going to get into it. And just coming out of the equip time, you know, we could have just said, well, let's move on. If you came to the equip time, well done. And you probably had a feast. I did anyway. Taking in what the apostolic team had come to preach on, and it was great having Ty with us last Sunday. But just getting the whole heart of the apostolic team for what they were preaching on. And just out of that, I felt over the next 2 weeks to unpack some stuff. I love what Janine started off with saying, do I have to forgive everybody all the time? So now when I prepared this message, just so you're clear, I didn't think of anybody. I thought of everybody, including me. So I hope this is going to be helpful. This morning we're going to look at shadows in your heart. And so I just want to start off this morning by reading 1 Corinthians 12:24, and this is helpful. We know the whole piece about the putting the pieces of the body together and all being part of the body. And verse 24b, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. So if you think you're only a part and you're a lacking and you're not that gifted, you're not that talented, you're not that whatever, that's you. God giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. These are questions you should be asking yourself right now. Do I care for the others, those around me? Do I care for everybody? Do I care for those in the body? Do I take care of? But that the members may have care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. True story. My mom was feeling ill, and she had this perpetual cough, and she felt like she had these flu symptoms, and she just couldn't get over this. So she went to the doctors, and they just said, yes, you have a cold, and then it didn't go away. So then she went again and again, and eventually they said, well, we're going to have to take some x-rays. And so they did some x-rays of her lung, and they found this little black spot in her lung. And they poorly diagnosed her and said, no, don't worry, it's just a bit of the influenza, you'll get over it and you'll be fine. Now, who knows that when you have an x-ray and it reveals something unhealthy or impure or unclean in your body, it's undesirable. And she improved a little bit, and then about 2 years later, 2004, she got really ill again. So she went back and had the x-ray done again, and this little black spot was now about this big. And they found that my mother had now a cancerous growth in her lung, but she was, Jesus is either going to heal me or he's going to take her home. And he took her home. And so, shame, Mark, no, it's okay, she's with Jesus, it's okay, she lived a full life, she was early 80s, she had a great life. But the point I'm trying to make here this morning, but when we have shadows created in our life, and when we, and I want to speak on unforgiveness this morning, and when we have shadows, unforgiveness in our life, they're little impure, unclean, undesirable things in our life, and spiritually will cause us death. And so I want to just get into that. And you know, sometimes we get into the spot where we say, well, I don't care. I don't care. Anybody ever said that? This is a morning for honesty. Come on. I don't care. I don't care about you. I don't care about my neighbor. I don't care about my family. I don't care about this. I don't care. I don't care. Well, do you know that that's a lie from the enemy? For two very reasons. Number one, we were created to care. God created us to care for one another. I just read it in Scripture. We've been created to care for one another. The second thing is that, you know, a couple of years back, this is just another example for you. A couple of years back, when God would come and bring trials and tribulations, we get those things in our life. Trials and tribulations would come and I would say, oh man, do I really, what is this? Oh, and all the well, good-meaning people truthfully would say, don't worry, Mark, God's building character in your life. And eventually I had to go, God, how much more character do I need in my life? And He is a faithful God. And so He answered me. He said, the fact, son, that you actually have to ask means you're not there yet. And when we keep mentioning and saying, I don't care, I don't care, the fact that you keep saying it means, deep down, although you won't admit it, you actually do care. Because we are created to care, and we do care. It's in our DNA, we can't help it. I don't care, speak to the hand, I'm not doing anything. But actual fact, deep down, we actually do care. Because we've been created to. Because when we do the don't care thing, you know what we do? We're giving God pushback. We're saying, God, you're wrong, I'm right. Although His Word teaches us that we are meant to care, and we have to step out of where we are into an illogical realm and apply faith to where we're at. Because I'm going to ask, has there anybody here ever been hurt and offended? I want to see. Put your hand up because you. No, I never have. Oh, you. I can't say the words in the pulpit. Liar. Anyway, we have to step into this illogical human realm, into the spiritual realm, and we have to apply faith. I don't know. If you lived in my house when you were a kid, well, mummy, I don't care. I know none of your kids ever said this, I know that. You know, my mother would say to me, I'm going to make you care, boy. Come here. And she would teach me how to care through the seat of learning. I've told you this before. My mother would speak a good instruction to me. I told you not to be late. What does she mean by that? I would teach you. The problem is, when we get to this downward regression, what I call a downward regression, we'll look at that, but I just want us to look at some other scriptures quickly. Just so you know that it's in the scriptures. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And, you know, I hate parts of scripture. That's wrong. Delete, edit. It's not that I hate scripture. I hate the parts where it's like, what do you mean by that? I love the imperatives. Okay, I understand that. I get that. These are imperatives. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Michael didn't know what I was preaching about this morning. He came up. I love the way we started that song. Sins of scarlet, made white, Isaiah 1:18. I've got that one here today too. So anyway, let's move on. Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. Not if you're feeling about it. What did Louise say this morning? Not if you're, I don't feel like it. I'm not up to it today. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also must you forgive. So now this is what I call the downward regression. There we go. Downward, you know, we're going to downward progression. No, that's not. It's downward regression because we're going there. So what happens the first time that you actually fall out of love, good Christianese, or you're just upset or you're mad at someone, the first thing you do is you create distance between yourself and them. Distance is created when we have a relational conflict. I don't want to go there, so I start to neglect our relationship. Those of you married, who's the one in your family that, let's deal with this thing, let's talk about this thing, let's get this thing over, let's get... Yeah. I guarantee you the other one is going, I don't want to talk about it now. See, I have to put my hand up too. Bridget's like, let's talk about this, let's deal with this thing, let's get it done, let's sort it out. I'm going, babes, I don't want to talk about it now. I need to process. I need to get my heart right, because we know this is the wellspring of life, and what comes out of here comes out of here. And then you go, oops, did I say those words? And we want to get them back and put them back inside, and we can't put them back inside. And so we got to go, let's just talk about this later. But then when we don't talk about it later, we neglect the relationship, this distance comes. It comes in the flesh is saying, we have to do this. We shut people out when we come in conflict and we create this distance. Come on, man. When you come to church and you see someone you don't really like, you go, it's called avoidance. In your workplaces, when you had a fight with your boss and you see the boss coming down the corridor, you go, ooh. We're going to be here a long time today. So I'm just warning you right now. The second thing we do is we put up walls. We go, we don't want, well, why do we put up walls? Well, we don't want to hurt by other people get hurt us. The problem is when we draw this distance and then we get our little trowel and our toolbox out and we start to build this wall all around us and we start to feel good about ourselves because I'm building this inchy little wall around me. The problem is you build the wall to keep the bad people out, but that same wall also keeps the good people out. And it also often keeps God out. I don't want to be hurt. Who's ever been hurt before? Oh, now, come on. Let's be truthful now. Yeah, come on, work with me. Because I've got to know I'm talking to the right crew, because the others, you can just go and have coffee. This is not for you. No, I'm joking. You've got to listen. We say we shut everybody out. We protect the very thing that keeps us alive. As I already said, the wellspring of life. We want to protect that thing that's keeping alive, that keeps our emotions and our feelings and our joys and our pleasures. We're protecting ourselves from that. Well, no, this is just self-preservation. No, no, illogical realm, stepping into faith. Forgiving. Because when you forgive people, you're released. They might go around, you know, I didn't say it in the beginning, I want you to be sure. The reason I'm doing this is because some of the preaching that came out, I had to sit there and go, oh, these people in my life, I don't know if I've forgiven them. Yeah, and I have, but I forgive you, but I'm not going to forget. Anybody? Nobody. Oh, just me. I'm the only idiot here. Okay, I get you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. There is no such thing as I'm going to forgive you, not forget. There is. I forgive you, and there's wisdom to live in life. But you don't just like, okay, well, come and stab me again. So we build these walls, and the walls, they're just there not for our own good as we suppose. The next thing we do, because we should get on, is escalation. When the small situation is just so large. You ever heard the expression, the molehill that became a mountain? Or you're making mountains out of molehills. You heard that before? You've used that before? I didn't mean for it to get so out of hand. And it wouldn't have got out of hand if we just forgiven one another. Then we know. Then we're walking in liberty and freedom and all the nice things that God wanted for us. Sometimes, as pastors, we listen, people come for counseling, and we listen to what they're arguing about, and truly inside my head I'm screaming, you are arguing about what? You feel, what? Okay, let's just close our eyes and pray. That's because we won't forgive. I know one time, okay, forget it. We just don't have time. Where am I? Scream what? Little things have become allowed so large that they're just so out of, they're out of hand. Every time you get, you get there, you know what the greatest weapon of escalation is? This tiny little member. This tiny little member is the greatest weapon of escalation. Scripture says this about it. It is a small member. It is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. Sometimes, you know, have you ever bitten your tongue? It's pretty sore. Sometimes we need to bite our tongues a little bit more. You know, it's like I'd love to say sometimes, was your brain in gear before you opened your mouth? You know, we just blurt this stuff out. And then we feel vindicated. And we're going, wow, did you not think what you just said? And we use that when we have not taken the high road. When we're trying to build the wall and escalate the issue and not get ourselves together, we wallow in our own self-created mire. And the problem is we drag others down with us, because then our speech becomes bitter towards each other. And then we say things where we belittle others. You know, there's no way you can extol yourself if you're belittling someone else. They don't do that so well. Yeah, well, just be happy that they did that. The coffee sucks. Yeah, well, when last did you come and help make the coffee and pour the coffee? I hope no one's feeling condemnatory here. This is something Michael said it this morning. The next thing that happens on our downward regression is false beliefs. You start to believe things. You start to believe things that aren't even there. The enemy has taken hold of you and helps you to read more into every situation. Who has conversations in their heads? Come on. Put up your hands. Don't be shy. This is participative. I read something on Facebook the other day. Church is not a concert. Because at a concert, everybody gets there on time. And a concert is participative. And you pay for what you do there, something like that. I can't remember the third point. But anyway, I'm just saying. We get into false beliefs. We create a false belief system of inaccuracies. They sound true, they sound good, but they're not. They're lies. And then we just subscribe to this system and we go with it like we are so confident and we so know all about it. John 8 says, the enemy is a liar. He is the father of all lies. And then we still listen to him. How crazy is that? That's like, whoo. You never love them, and they certainly don't love you. Oh yeah, no, I can see that. No, that's not true. Sometimes you have a disagreement. That's okay. But it's when you start to belittle and you get all, and then you go away and then you go and tell somebody else. You know what Chris said to me? Yeah, no, he tries to belittle me. And And then Chris eventually comes up, because it's his fault, not mine. And then he says to me, he says, Mark, I'm really sorry. And I say, okay, but I forgive you. But then I don't go and tell this person that I've told, and they're not this person's doing. They're running over to Vince and saying, you know, Chris said about Mark, eh? And Vince says, what? What? Tell me, I've got to hear it. Yeah, you know we call that? Yeah. When you're hurt and offended and you're in this bad place, hot tip. You are the last person you want to be taking advice from or guidance from. When you're offended, well, let me just self-talk and let me just discuss this with me and myself. All you need to do is never answer yourself back, because then we know that you've got a problem. But we actually know that we get this process system that's so clouded, and we have these shadows that are developing, which you can't see clearly through. And so you're the wrong person to take advice from. You can't trust yourself when you're offended. Hot tip. The belief system has been hijacked and a false system is in place. And I'm taking too long over this. But if you say it's good, then we'll just keep going. The last one at the bottom of the line is hostility. Now we've gone, we've created the distance, we've built the walls, we've escalated this thing to where it should never be. We into the false belief system, and now we're being hostile. When we hit the bottom rung, you say, well, everybody's out there to get me, so what am I going to do? I'm going to get them first. I'm going to get them first. I'm going to belittle them first. I'm going to talk ill about them first. I'm going to ignore them because I want to create this whole distance. Hostility, listen to this, hostility is not a condition between two people. It is the condition of your soul. Hostility is not a condition between two people. It is the condition of your soul. It will affect how you live, how you respond or react to other people, and you will have no peace and joy in your life. So what's the reality check on this? There's good news. The reality check in this whole thing, and this is what I like to call the big reveal, the reality check is that this is exactly how Jesus found you, because you didn't find Jesus, how Jesus found you before you got saved. Just let that sink in a little bit. And how do I know that? I'm so glad you asked. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. Remember. Why do they say remember? Because we have the propensity to forget. So the scripture's teaching us, remember this. Remember this about ourselves. Be reminded about it, that we were separated from Christ. We were separated from Christ. We had no connection. We were distant from Him. We'd built up our walls. We had distanced ourselves. We were escalating in our non-love for God and His people. Have you ever tried to testify and witness to some people who are escalating? And we could tell you testimonies of that, of when people don't want to listen to you and to your thoughts and Jesus. You're becoming more hopeless. You're living with a false belief system and you're increasing hostility towards God and His people. You people in church, you're all hypocrites. Oh, there are no hypocrites at a football stadium. There's no hypocrites in the movie house. There's no hypocrites in your workplace. Just in church. No. They're everywhere. The largest growing church in North America is the Church of the Offended. Come to church and we get offended. Well, I'm not going back there. You go to work and you get offended. Who in their right mind ever said, I'm not going back there? I rest my case. I feel like a good lawyer this morning. Oh yeah. We were brought near by the blood of Christ. Well, I need to get back into church and I need to do this and I need to do that and I must do this and I must do that. No. It's not based on what I did for Jesus or what I can do for Jesus, it's based on what Jesus did for me. I found Jesus. Remember that song we used to sing? You didn't find Jesus. He's been searching for you all his life. Ever since the day you came out of your mother's womb and the first words you said, "Wah!" She says, "I got you, babe. I got you. I'm looking for you. I'm searching for you. I'm searching for your soul." Jesus did what he did, and it's not when you did what you did. He is looking for us. Before you were even ready to come to a child of God, to be brought near to him and reconciled to our Father, he'd already put the process in place. Sometimes I detest, hate Facebook. Some of you remember the family that used to be in this church, the Cummings family. Matthew Cummings gave his life to Jesus yesterday. And his father was rejoicing and right, oh, my son gave you, of his own free will, gave him some person, a person. Well, how could he do it on his free will? Because the obvious opposite of that is a conscious, and I just like, Mark, be gentle with the guy. But his pastor jumped in and gave a tirade this long. I was like, okay. But you know, Jesus was looking for us. And he found every one of us. And he came seeking to save the lost. And we already put this process in place. And guess what? He wasn't the offending party. Wow. For he himself is our peace. This is not just a pseudo reconciliation on a humanistic level. I'm sorry, God. No, sorry and repentance are totally opposite. They're not the same. Just if you think saying sorry and repentance are the same, let me just tell you, they're not the same. Repentance means metanoia. Turning away from what you were doing and doing. Not going back and doing it again, because then it just was sorry. You go back and do it again. And you say, well, I repented. No, you didn't. You just said, I'm sorry. And most times, it's because you got caught. How are you liking the sermon today? I'm having fun. It ministers to me. It's not I'm getting over myself. It's a complete getting rid of the horror and the nightmare of a disturbed life. It's coming, being reconciled, living in joy and peace. Can we think about that? Taken from the kingdom of darkness and brought into His glorious Son's kingdom. Man, that's outstanding. And then it goes on, it says, He is our peace. And the Prince, or He is the Prince of Peace. And broken down in the flesh, the dividing wall of hostility. Now that's a physical wall and a spiritual wall He's talking about. Because this passage is all, for just context sake, this passage is all about the Jews and the Gentiles becoming one. And the wall of hostility, in the synagogue there was this wall. And only the Jews could go onto the inner court per se, and the Gentiles had to sit around and listen from afar. And there was written on there, inscribed on there, death and what would happen to them if the Gentiles crossed that line. But Jesus came and He broke that wall down, that we all have access into the Holy of Holies. Can you imagine? Holy Spirit fills my head with stuff as I'm preaching, and then I'm just trying to be respectful for the time, and I've lost the plot completely. So what is the payoff? Ephesians 4:31. Get rid of all bitterness, not when you feel like it, not if you choose, sort of, maybe. No, get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, here's the big reveal, just as Christ forgave you. If you remember nothing else from today, remember just as. I'm aware of our humanistic feelings and how easy it is, and you think this is easy, Mark. No, it's not, because we allow our flesh to control us, and what we have to learn to do is this kind of stuff. Rage, slander, anger, rage, brawling, malice, bitterness, take it to the box of forgiveness and dump it there. Don't carry the stinky stuff upon your shoulders any longer. Just get rid of it. Dump it off in the box of forgiveness. And look, I mean, you see how nice and bent over this guy is walking. When he walks away, he's free. Like, that's done and dusted, man. I'm living the life now. When God forgave us, something happened inside of us, in us and through us, and so that that changed us from the inside out. We were metanoid, we were changed, we recreated from the inside. You've heard me say before, it's not like just go to the garage and get a new engine stuck in. No, it's a whole brand new car. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I went in like an old car, and I came out a brand new Cadillac or Porsche, whatever you like, pick it, a Mercedes, Jaguar, I don't know. Nice car. We go in. The peace of Christ will rule and reign in our life No matter what. No matter what. You want to be a Christ follower who has the power and the capacity to forgive others. That's what else happened inside of us. It didn't just give us the power to forgive or to be forgiven. It gave us the power and the capacity to forgive others. And now don't be sitting there going, yeah, well, my husband better forgive me. Because now you've got the wrong attitude. You just go, oh Lord Jesus, forgive me. And then go make it right. Or the vice versa, of course. So how do we do all this stuff? We're going to be closing soon, so just stay with me. Number one, we got to receive, learn to receive God's forgiveness. A lot of us haven't even done that yet. We haven't got there. We've said the prayer, walked the aisle, shake the preacher's hand, never had a change of heart. That's not salvation. That's not metanoia. That's not turning away. That's just saying a prayer. Well, I better say the prayer, because if I don't, these people are going to be on my case again. Some of you got saved like that. And perhaps you grew into it. You've got to realize, salvation is just the beginning. It's not the end result. Too many believers walk around berating yourself for your mistakes. Ooh, you know, in the old days, you used to do that whole thing with flagellation. Go and take a whip and stand in front of a mirror and beat yourself. That's what some of us do spiritually. You beat yourselves up. Why? Because you haven't understood and taken hold of God's forgiveness in your life. Forgiveness means forgiveness. Not I'm holding it against you till another date. When you mess up again, I'm going to trot them all out. No. As far as the east is from the west, God chose to forget it so that you can walk in liberty and freedom. Because some of you are still trying to earn God's favor. You're still trying to earn it. God is omniscient. He's everywhere. He's right with you now. And He knows. You say, Mark, get it over with. We want to go and drink coffee. I'm not a mind reader. Yeah. Can't read my mind. He knows what you're thinking about right now. He was, He is, and He will be. He is ever present. Your view of God is inconsistent with Scripture. When you think that I still have to earn. Your view of God, all your sins have been paid for by the precious blood of Christ. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, covered everything, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I preached a bit about that last week or week, whenever. Listen to this. You will never have to forgive anybody more than God has forgiven you. I'll say it again. You will never have to forgive anybody more than God has forgiven. Well, you don't understand. No, I don't. God does. He sent His Son. He died on the cross, beaten and bruised so that we could live in forgiveness. This revelation will change your life if you just get hold of it and go, just as God through Christ forgave me. First Timothy 1:13, though formerly I was, this is Paul talking to young Timothy, I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul says, how is all that stuff? He says, but God's mercy. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. So when you walk out of here today, you can't say that. Just saying. We work in what Jesus has given us. And then as we sang this morning, Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool." Let us, and this reason is like in a court case. The word is yucca. Work it out. Argue and accept that our sins are a red stain upon our souls. And Jesus came and he says, "I will take the red stain." Have you ever tried to, out of white cloth, to wash out the red stains? And then it go dark red, then light red, then pink, and it just takes, it doesn't come out. And here he's saying, "I'm going to wash your soul that it'll be white as wool, white as snow, completely cleansed." We need to acknowledge our sins, which precedes God's cleansing and eradicating it from us. We have trouble forgiving because we haven't truly received forgiveness. We haven't understood it. Because we talk about it glibly. And I'm going on a little bit today because I want us. It's my duty as your pastor to walk me into this thing. And we walk in liberty and freedom. If you live your life, listen to this, if you live your life trying to earn God's forgiveness, you will live your life trying to make others earn your forgiveness. If you live your life trying to earn God's forgiveness, you will live your life trying to make others to earn your forgiveness. You know the talent of the servants? Owed such a debt. We sang about that this morning. The second point, and this is like, try not to do this at home by yourself, people. That was a joke. If you can't do number one, you can't get to number two. Freely give what you have received. Step one will give you the capacity to do step two. I will do the same for those that I offend or have offended me, just as Christ did for me. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without paying. Freedom is free. Forgiveness is free. When we understand that, it will help us. I will not make people try and earn my forgiveness, just as Christ did not make me earn my forgiveness. You thought you earned your forgiveness from Jesus? No, you didn't. He gave it freely. Well, it was a huge cost to him. It was free to us. And I want to say this in as much love and care as I can. How dare you hold someone else in forgiveness when Christ has forgiven you? How dare I hold somebody else in unforgiveness when Christ has forgiven me? Who do you think you are? Who do I think I am? Second Corinthians 5:14. I'm going to read the whole thing just for time's sake. It's up there. This passage says for us to treat or to view or to regard others as I have done to you. As Christ has done to others, we need to treat others the same way. Forgiveness is just not a normal mental assent or what comes from our lips or our heart. Forgiveness is how we treat each other. Yeah, I know we're good at the mask thing. Maybe I should do a series on wearing masks. But we do the mask thing, you know. How are you? Oh, I'm fine, brother. I'm highly favored, highly blessed. So how do you like Vince? No. What? That's when I want to scream in my head. What? We can still do... When we're giving forgiveness to others, and I just want to say to you today, I'm closing now, I've got one more point. For those of you, I'm going to just give you Bridget as an example. She needed to forgive her father for a lot of stuff. But he had passed on, he died. So she couldn't go to him and say, "Dad, forgive me," or "I forgive you." So she just sat down and gave forgiveness. It released her. If you can't do it, just don't make it an excuse, because in our cyber world today, there's pretty much nobody we can get hold of. You know, if you get there, we want to make sure that we do it with intent. Jesus paid it in full, tetelestai. Our debt, He wiped away our slate clean. My debt was brought to zero because of Jesus. Don't you think? You do, I'm telling you, you do have the capacity and the power to wipe somebody else's slate and bring it to zero. You know what I've found with unforgiveness? Most people don't even know that you're offended with them. Yeah. I just want to ask you for forgiveness. I just want you, I'm going to forgive you. Okay. And don't, you know, the worst thing you can do is go, well, for what? What did I do? No, just listen. Just hear their hearts. And just accept it and say, I forgive you. Thank you. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it was about. They are walking captive and they're trying to be free now. Don't you be smart and go, what was that all about? We have the power and the capacity to bring to zero other people's pain. Reconciliation says we brought reconciliation, which is in the Greek kataloge, means exchanging for equivalent value, restoration to favor. We sang this morning, or somebody said, we're ambassadors this morning. Means we are representative of the King. That'd be good representing the King. Dispensing the same forgiveness just as. And then the last point. You're going to love this one because it's going to hurt. Go first. Jesus wasn't hanging around and waiting to see, well, Dad, if I die on the cross, do you think, maybe, possibly? He says, okay, I'm going to do it for them. And then people still go, no, thank you, not for me, not today. I'm not feeling it today. Reconciliation, go first, Romans 5:8. God shows His mercy. Oh, sorry, what happened to that? Oh, Matthew 5:9, I missed that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Not peacekeepers, peacemakers. There is a difference. Romans 5:8. But God shows His love for us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He wasn't waiting. He wasn't like, hey, I'm not feeling it. Shall I tell you what? I think Jesus was feeling it. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood. He was feeling it. He was going, Dad, is there another plan? Just local colloquialism. Is there another plan, Dad? No, my son. Second time, Dad, are you sure? Dad, are you sure? Three times. Eventually, okay, not my will be done, but yours, Dad. You ever had to die for someone else for their forgiveness? No. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Do you want to sow a harvest of righteousness? You want to be obedient to God? When you step out in faith to forgive, you will receive some as well. Well, I'm just feeling it. Let me tell you, someone said this morning about choices. I think Kevin was talking about choices. I was listening to all the stuff that's going on in the morning. I'm thinking, man, they just setting this platform for my preach. Choices lead, feelings follow. Now, when we're in the flesh, feelings lead, and then choices follow. I have this feeling, and then we make a choice and go, "Ooh, that was a bad choice." But if we allow God-centered choices to be made, then our feelings will follow that thing. And you will feel better about yourself. You will feel much better. Today is a day, and I've taken time, and I know you've been patient this morning. Thank you. Today is a day to bring accounts to zero. Today is a day where we can just block that all out, finish it all. So I'm asking you, who's the person or persons in your life? You know, sometimes even when we get family gatherings together over festive seasons, they're a pain. They are hurtful. Why? Because Dad and the daughter don't get on, so we go to Christmas lunch with Dad, and then we go and get leftovers with the daughter. Because we can't get the family together. I know none of you know what I'm talking about. We lived like that for a while. We had to have two Christmas dinners, two Easter dinners, two birthday dinners, two this, because the family wouldn't get together. And eventually we said, this is stupid. You know what we're going to do? We're going to invite them. And if they, whoever comes, comes. Because otherwise we're stressing. Well, just cook this meal for this person, cook this. No, that's not how it's supposed to be. Especially in the body of Christ. Are there those that you are distant from? Have you built walls around yourself? Have you allowed things to escalate to an unhealthy place? Have you followed a false belief about people, family members, me? And now there's hostility in your life. Don't be lulled into the lie of the enemy. If there is unforgiveness, I'm asking you, search your heart this morning. Deal with it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let's just stand together, please. David, man after God's own heart, stood and cried before him and said, oh Lord, search me. See if there be any wicked way in me. I'm not saying you're wicked. But you're not living in the fullness of your potential, your blessing and favor in Christ, if you're holding unforgiveness in your heart. Someone here that you hold unforgiveness towards. Some of your family members. It doesn't matter who. Just as. Holy Spirit, Father, we come to you today, Lord. God, we stand before you this morning, Lord God, and we ask, Lord God, reveal to us in places in our lives that we might have built walls around, where we've tried to distance ourselves from people, where we've allowed that separation to escalate into an unhealthy spot, Lord. Jesus, we come against the false belief system, the lie of the enemy that we've subscribed to, and with it the hostility that has come. I'm asking you today, do not downplay this thing and say, oh, it's not that bad. No, it is that bad. Let's just be honest with ourselves today. Holy Spirit, reveal to us. Don't just pray to yourself. Holy Spirit, reveal to me. If you, maybe over this preach, you've already gone, this person, that person, this person. Let this be a day when we stand together. As the prophetic word came this morning, this is the day where Jesus is saying, I'm advancing, I'm going forward. I want a united army that I'm going to take forward for the bridge. We want the fullness of God's favor and blessing upon us, together, in our togetherness. Be brave enough to say, Holy Spirit, deal with me this morning. If there be any truth in this, deal with me. Gently, Jesus. Gently, Lord. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Sorry I went over a little bit of time today, but I didn't feel it was a message that I could rush. And bless you, and have a great week. And be like Nike. Just do it.